JazakAllah, my peace be upon you. Assalamu alaikum once again. And without any further delay, inshallah, we'd like to welcome Mufti Azhar Hussain Ilyas Saab on the program, the question and the answer session. Yes, with no doubt, on your favorite learning station. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa
alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Saab, JazakAllah for your time, and it's wonderful and great, speaking to you. And we look forward to spending the next 45 minutes with Mufti Saab. To the listeners of Radio Islam Satellite, inshallah, and those listening to Radio Islam around the world via the internet, the number to call to pose your questions is, the international code is +27118541548. And to the listeners here locally, the number is 011-854-1548. And to Maulana Peed Ali, inshallah, Aziz will direct the questions to us. Due to the technical problem, you cannot come live on air. And we also have the SMS service, and the number to call is 082-580-8070. I repeat, it's 082-580-8070. You can SMS us your questions. Well, this time, let's get down to the questions. We have many, many questions to deal with in today's program. The first one is via SMS that came in about 2 minutes ago. The brother says, Does shaving the beard whilst fasting break or make the fast makruh? And the second question is it sunnah to use olive oil before one goes to sleep?
The second question I'll do first, that as far as our research is concerned, that we do not know that the usage of olive oil before going to sleep is sunnah. So if a person is habitual in applying oil on his head and going to sleep, that is permissible. But as far as being jurisprudently sunnah, and especially olive oil, that is not in our knowledge. As far as the second question is concerned, it is an important question. One is that by doing such a heinous crime of shaving the beard, the fast does not break, the fast is not invalidated, but it is grossly unbecoming of a Muslim, and it is definitely disobedience to the Sharia, and the person is definitely a transgressor and an evil doer if he shaves his beard even in the blessed month of Ramadan. Shaving the beard is absolutely haram according to all four a'imma, and for the relative references, I have written an article on this about the Shari length of beard. You can see it on our website, alislam.co.za. If you forget, you can go to the Radio Islam website and from there draw a link onto our site, wherein you'll get the adequate proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah, the Ahadiths and the Aqwal, the statements of the four Imams, that to shave the beard is absolutely haram. So the person will be rewarded on one side for fasting and sinful for shaving the beard. We will make an earnest, sincere appeal that, respected brothers, that this is the month of reformation and change and renaissance. So please try as far as possible to adhere to the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one side, you are fulfilling the farz of fasting, but on the other side, you are committing a major sin, and such a sin that remains with you throughout the day, because after shaving, you are disobedient, and this quality of transgression is with you all the time because of your silly action of shaving the beard.
Alright, Mustafa, JazakAllah for that clarification. And the next question via SMS is, Mufti Saab, when wudu is performed and thereafter one brushes his teeth, would this act nullify his wudu?
This will not nullify the wudu. By brushing the teeth after or whilst or in or before the wuzu, brushing the teeth will not nullify the wuzu.
Alright, the next question is, when a woman is menstruating during the Hajj period, how does a woman complete her Hajj?
the female who is experiencing menstruation during the Hajj or before the Hajj, then she must complete all the rites and rituals of Hajj, meaning that she will enter into Ihram, go to Mina, go to Arafat, go to Muzdalifah, make the Rami'a Jamara, and then also the Dhamma Shukr, etc. However, the Tawaf and Ziyarah will not be done because she is not in the state of purity. Obviously, she will not perform Salah because the precondition is not met. She will wait even after the days of Hajj and wait until purity is obtained. Once she is free from menstruation, she will take ghusl, then perform the Tawaf and Ziyarah, not forgetting the Safa Marwa, the Sa'i. And after that, she will be out of the Ihram officially, and the husband can thereafter only take benefit from her. Thereafter, she can make Tawaf Wida and come back home.
Alright. The time now is 21 minutes past 10 o'clock. You are tuned to Radio Islam on Medium Wave 1548. And to the listeners, inshallah, if you have any questions for Mufti Islam, you can SMS us your questions. The cell phone number is 082-580-8070. And the landline studio telephone number is 011-854-1548. And in turn, Maulana Pidari will direct the questions to us. Mufti Islam, the next question that came through via SMS is, Salams, I would like to know if the Mudrik should recite the Takbir and all the other calls for the different postures, or does the Imam's call, which is loud enough?
So you got the wrong word in there. It's not the Mudrik.
JJ.
It's Mukabbir.
Alright.
So the person who calls out the Takbir. Now, the usage of that person will be in the event we are not linked up, or the Jama'ah or the congregation is not linked up by any sound system. The sound system allows those who are away from the Imam, perhaps in another room, another hall, or very, very far away from the Imam, they can make out with certainty in which posture and position the Imam is. Now, if there is no proper sound system, then obviously we will have this Mukabbir who will call out the Takbirs at relevant, respective, proper timings, so that the Jama'ah, which is hidden away or far away and cannot see the Imam, can follow. So that is permissible.
Alright, we go on further. The next question on SMS is, if a child is not baligh and keeps the roza, what is the reward for the roza?
Children who are not mukallaf, meaning that they are not responsible, meaning that they are not accountable, inshallah, if they do actions, then they will be preparing themselves for the time when they become mukallaf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let their actions done when they are not baligh go in vain and futility. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah will reward them abundantly, tremendously, and also they will see for themselves the fructification and results of their actions. When they become baligh, they will find it very easy and comfortable to perform and to act upon the noble, blessed Sharia.
Alright, JazakAllah for the clarification. The time now is 24 minutes past 10 o'clock, and many questions are coming through. The next one being from an anonymous sister asking, can women perform the three witrs of Isha before starting the Taraweeh, and is Taraweeh, Mufti Sahab, compulsory for women?
The sequence we should worry about and take cognizance of. the Taraweeh cannot be done before the Isha. The proper good sequence is Isha, then Taraweeh, then Witr. Now, if a person performs Taraweeh before Isha, the Isha is not valid. In another words, if Isha was performed, then Taraweeh was performed, subsequently it was realized that the Isha is not valid, then that will render the Taraweeh not valid. Now, so that means under every and all circumstances, the Isha will be first, performed first, given preference. This is absolutely necessary. Now, the Taraweeh and the Witr, if a person performed the Witr before the Taraweeh is valid. However, this is not a very good practice. Taraweeh Salat is Sunnat e Mu'akkidah for both male and female.
Alright. SMS question, what is that? Is it permissible for a lady to perform her Isha in Taraweeh Namaz loudly while the others in the house follow her?
If he is going to do so, then the followers, if he is a Hafiza and she is going to do so and she is going to lead Salat, according to Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayh, that is makruh. According to scholars like Allama Lakhdawi, they say that if there is a fear of she forgetting her Quran, then there is some room for permissibility. However, there are certain conditions to be met. Number one, that she will not stand like how the normal imam stands. He will stand in the center of the row. Number two, all the followers will be females. And according to some, only those mahram males of her will be allowed to follow. But this is absolutely not correct because the female cannot lead the male in Salat. So those who hold that view are erroneous. The female can only lead the females.
Alright, JazakAllah. The next question pertains to Zakat. It says, Salam Zakat. I have a gold coin with this. Today's value in weight is 1,000 rands. As it is a collector's edition, today's value is 3,000 rands. On which amount do I pay Zakat? Shukran wa salam.
You will pay Zakat on 3,000 rand.
Yes, JazakAllah for that question. The next question we had about four with regards to toothpaste. Is the use of toothpaste when brushing teeth while fasting allowed if you don't swallow it?
If you do not swallow it, we repeatedly say that if you do not swallow it, it is permissible. However, we are advising, please do not use it. Use it after iftari, use it before sehri ends. Do not use it while fasting because people are these days not cautious at all.
Alright. Sorry for waiting. Somebody still there?
Yes.
Alright, JazakAllah. Sorry, we thought you have a problem. The next question pertains to Zakat. I would like to know if I can go for Hajj with my brother even though I have a husband, JazakAllah.
If your husband gives you permission and this is your Nafil Hajj, then you will have to take permission from your husband in order to proceed. If it is your Farz Hajj, then you may proceed for Hajj and get some Ulama Ikram to convince your husband if he is not prepared to give permission. But inshallah, he will give permission if he is a reasonable person. It is permissible for you to go for Hajj with your brother. Your brother is a mahram.
Alright, the next question is, what is a person reading namaz behind the imam, does he have to say, for example, Allahu Akbar, Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, for example, and the salam as well, or does the imam's call suffice?
The muqtadi, the follower, should be saying those Allahu Akbar, etc. And when the Imam says Sami Allahu liman hamida, then he should be replying Rabbana lakal hamd, etc. And he should be reading the tasbihat in ruku, qoma, and attahiyat, and also making the salam.
Alright. So we come to the computer question now. Can a Muslim donate blood for donor purposes in the month of Ramadan? Does this break his roza?
If it is essential to donate blood, the blood is not sold as per se, as fi nafsihi, then it is permissible. And if a person donates blood, then it will not break the fast if this has been done in the state of fasting. So whilst fasting, if a person donates blood, or some blood sample is taken from him, or does a blood sugar test, so there, in all those three cases, there is an extraction of blood, removal of blood. By extracting blood, taking out blood in the state of fasting, does not invalidate the fast.
All right. What is the next question pertaining to nikah? It's a lengthy question. It says, Salams, a girl left home and married someone her parents refused, but hasn't yet consummated the marriage because she is living with her sister far away and now wants to annul the nikah. Can she annul it even if the guy she married refuses? Her parents know where she is now, but don't know she's married. Please, she says, I'm desperate and would appreciate a reply as soon as possible. Also, will Allah forgive me for what I have done, even if I decide not to annul it and live with him? Jazakallah.
First of all, we would advise strongly that if your parents are not happy, and the elders are your parents, and they understand in most cases generally what is best for their children, they have brought up the children and they are the well wishes of the children, and they will decide accordingly where to get the children married. By disobeying, this is not conducive and this is not proper. And you should go to the local jamiat in whichever area you are, present your case and call for them to dissolve that marriage, make that marriage fasakh, and they will listen to your case, listen to the pros and cons, then call the person whom you are married to in the light of Sharia and negotiate a fasakh of marriage. And inshallah, if you do that, Allah will forgive you. However, if you go through with that marriage, then on one side the nikah will be very valid, but on the other side you will be displeasing your father and mother. Unfortunately, you will be under the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as your parents are displeased with what you are doing.
Alright, this is the 11th question on the computer screen. Is if a company takes out pension fund for you, do you have to pay zakat on that?
In order to pay zakat, you pay on the formula asset minus liabilities 2.5% of the result. An asset is that which you have got and you are the owner of it, you are in possession of it, you have got right of distribution over it, you have got control over it, and it is with you for one Islamic lunar year. Pension fund, you are owner of it, you do not have possession of it, you do not have right of distribution on it, you got no control of it, although you could be having it over one Islamic lunar year. So there is no zakat on that pension fund until such time that it comes to you.
All right. We go on further, Mufti Saab. The next question pertains to a public organization, and there are two questions with regards to this. The first one being, for a public organization, how transparent should they be to the community? And the second question on the screen is, who should determine the salaries for the public organization workers and the volunteers?
I will answer the first one, and inshallah you remind me of the second one. As far as any public organization is concerned, then they should be absolutely transparent, meaning that their expenditure in everything should be displayed. They should have proper bookkeeping, proper valid accounting, and also a proper auditing done. Not auditing done by some friend who just looks at it cursory and passes it. The more transparent any public organization is, it is better for that organization and the contributors to that organization, number one. Secondly, that by being transparent in this world, we are following a spirit which is take account before your account is taken, meaning that we rather have our books in order, finances in order in this world, because we are dealing with public money, rather than facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment and being charged for misappropriation of funds. Also, unfortunately, that most organizations do not function properly, and unfortunately there is embezzlement of funds, misappropriation of funds, and this will be seen in the grave and on the day of judgment. It is advised that everything minutely recorded, especially when you are dealing with people's amanat, people's trust, and people have put you in a position of responsibility. Also, it is absolutely disgusting and surprising to note that many big organizations, they do not even know the proper valid definitions of simple things like fidya, kafara, lilla, sadaqa, sadaqa jariya. They do not even know, and they're holding high positions in organizations. It is rather sad and very frustrating to know that ignorant people are now running major organizations and holding high portfolios in that organization. So we stress, and to the donors also, that please, if you are a donor, and especially big donor, that the organizations that you are supporting, let them produce proper valid balance sheets and audited reports, scrutinize them properly, and then when they are above board, then give generously and Allah will reward.
And the second question was, just looking for it on the computer screen, yes, the second question was, who should determine the salaries for the public organization workers and the volunteers?
The workers' salary, in fact, any salary for a person should be definitely above the bread line, meaning that it should be livable. We cannot, especially Muslim organizations, Muslim institutes, and especially the salaries of the imams and the muazzins and the ustads, etc., their salaries should be and must be livable. Number one, first of all, the salary scale should be above most of the average salary scales. Number two, that on increase of children of that particular employee, the salary must increase. So salary must have a basic index based upon the offsprings of the person, so that he does not have to stretch his hands, become a beggar. Unfortunately, that we want people to work, and we want people to work free, for free. No one lives on love and fresh air. We must realize that. And no one lives on herbs. So we should have proper salaries whereby people, especially doing Islamic work, Islamic activities, they should be paid sufficiently, adequately, so that they can do the work focused on their work. When they are not paid well, unfortunately, they will not deliver the goods.
Allah, Musa, very, very important. Jazakallah. The first step, Mawlana Musa mentioning that there is a great amanat that trust in those in charge must fulfill the amanat. And Musa, I like the way you say that we can't live on herbs. A person cannot live on love and fresh air. The time now is 90 minutes to 11 o'clock. You are tuned to Media Moib 1548. We are taking on the questions. The SMS number is 082-580-8070. And the studio number is 011-854-1548. So the next question via SMS is, does one have to pay zakat on your house even if you're still paying off the bond?
If a person has got one house in, for example, Lanesia, and another house in Cape Town, and another house in Durban, and these are his houses, it will go as personal belongings. A person does not have to pay zakat on those houses, irrespective of how many he has got, because they are not merchandise or goods for sale. Contrary to a person who has got homes and he is owner of houses and he is in the business of selling houses, and these are his property, his homes, then in that case, the houses will be like the cars for sale, will be like the goods for sale in the shop, and the material for sale in the shop, or the vegetables for sale in the greengrocer, which upon which zakat has to be paid.
Alright. The next question is, Mufti Saab, is 786 of any significance, and is the hanging of surahs and the 99 names of Allah, for instance, etc., permissible to be hanging the house?
The numerical number 786, they say, is equivalent to the values of the alphabet in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In Islam, the Arabic alphabet, each one has got a specific numerical value. So Alif having its number, numerical value, ba, ta, etc. Now they have totaled Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and come to the conclusion that it is 786. Now, although some are even contesting that, however, 786 is not a substitute for Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So the honor, dignity, reverence shown to Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim will be different to that of 786. And the next question was, hanging of frames is permissible but not essential, and at times it can be classified as futile.
Alright. We start coming to the computer. There's many questions there as well. The one question is, can we pay part of the fidya for Ramadan in Ramadan and the rest after Ramadan because we cannot afford the whole amount?
It is permissible to pay part or all of the fidya outside Ramadan even. But in the question, they want to pay part of the fidya in Ramadan, that is permissible, and the remaining part outside Ramadan, that is permissible. However, I must state clearly that before paying fidya, please state your case to the local alim and take his ruling and advice. Unfortunately, these days, healthy people want to miss the fast and pay fidya, which is not valid. Those who are healthy even after some small ache or petty excuses, they want to pay fidya. Also, some ladies are under the impression that they can pay fidya for their misfast due to their menstruation, which is absolutely invalid. They will have to make up for their misfast due to their menstruation after Eid.
All right. We start to go on further. It says, Salams, will your fast be accepted if you sleep through Sahri and forget to read the dua before fasting until iftar, but you did fast?
If a person missed Sahri and got up later, and we make dua, that person got up for Fajr Salat and made the Fajr Salat, then the niyat for fasting obviously can be done before the Islamic midday, meaning that you take the sunset time and the sunrise time, calculate the number of hours, divide it by two, and then you will be able to get the Islamic midday. And for the fast of Ramadan, the niyat has to be done before the midday.
Alright. Mr. The next question on the computer screen is that if a lady is giving her zakat on jewelry yearly and at the same time she is earning other money on the sideline, must she combine the two monies and pay on that amount?
Yes, she should combine that. And one is she should evaluate her jewelry. She will get one figure, one amount. Then she will calculate how much cash, etc. she has got, then she will get another amount. By combining that, then she should give 2.5% of it, and in that calculation, there is greater possibility of giving more benefit to the poor and destitute.
All right. So the next question pertains to Hajj. The brother saying, or sister, if I am being sponsored for Hajj and this is my first Hajj, will it be regarded as my fard Hajj?
Once it is sponsored, then I presume they have told you, your sponsors, that we are sending you for Hajj and you have voluntarily accepted it. When you have accepted it, then this is regarded as your Faraz Hajj. You do not have to subsequently, when you become wealthy, to re-perform the Hajj. This one will be regarded as the, obviously, your first Hajj, your sponsored Hajj, and also your Faraz Hajj.
All right. A man has shares in a company. Must he pay zakat on it?
He will pay... depending now. One is the shares in the stock exchange. Shares in the stock exchange, you will pay current market-related value. And if you got shares in the company, then you will pay as per on your as on your dividend. You will pay on your dividend.
All right. The next question is, Maulana, if one engages in intercourse before Sahri and does not manage to have a bath thereafter, is the fast the next day accepted or not?
We do not know about accepted, we know it will be valid.
Alright. Is there any significance in regards to all the eclipse that happens in Ramadan, or is there any warnings? Can Mufisa please explain?
I presume they are talking about the eclipses prior to the coming of Mahdi. These eclipses are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the salat prescribed for during the time of eclipses should be performed, and we should realize that these are the movements in nature and these are natural phenomena, and we should be focused that Allah is the controller of the planets, Allah is the controller of the sun, the moon, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in full control of the universe, the galaxy and the cosmos. And Allah is the one in total control. These are the signs, and we should get admonished via these signs.
Alright. Coming to the SMS again, it says, Mufti Sahib, what is sin in watching sport and news in Ramadan?
As far as these programs are concerned, in fact, one of the greatest evils that has come into most of the homes is the calamity and disaster of television. And unfortunately, that viewing has become a fashion and people do not regard it even as a sin, even in the month of Ramadan. Watching these are completely vain, futile. A person wastes hours upon end and getting no benefit. Rather than that, the person is better off sleeping than wasting his most valuable time in this blessed month of reaping reward and pleasing Allah, gaining forgiveness and freedom from hypocrisy and freedom from the fire of hell. Instead of that, unfortunately, Muslim thinks that he is passing time by observing and looking at vain and futile things.
Right. The next question is, Mufti Sahab, Salams, please tell me what is the punishment for those women who don't keep their qaza rozas that are due to menstruation, and is it necessary to keep the qazas before the next Ramadan?
One should try as far as possible. And this will be the action of a good, pious, righteous, practical Muslim to keep all the qazas before the coming Ramadan. Because once qazas accumulate, then it becomes extremely difficult to perform and to make them again. So one should make an endeavor to complete all the qaza fast before the coming of the next Ramadan. And obviously, by not fasting and is a sin, and by not keeping the qaza is a major sin. Now, when I say by not fasting, I mean generally to men and women without any valid excuse. However, if the lady, obviously, by menstruation, that is a valid Shari excuse, she will not be sinful for that, because that is the natural biological setup. However, if she does not subsequently keep the qaza of it, then she will become a sinner, and not keeping the qaza fast, even if it was due to a valid reason, will turn a person into a major sinner.
All right, what is the next question is, pertaining to zakat, who qualifies to pay zakat and what is the minimum? We have some jewelry and a Kruger coin paid for mehr. Both my wife and I work and earn incomes.
The Kruger coin and the jewelry, etc., should be assessed. And the facilities some jewelers provide in your area, you tell them, they will evaluate it for you, and they will also weigh it. After that, you do not have to go every year to them. They, over the phone, will be able to tell you the current market value of it, and upon that, you will pay 2.5% as zakat. If you are earning, and then you have got money, now when you've got money, because you are going to combine it with your jewelry, which is already zakatable, then whatever remaining money you have got at the time of calculation, you will add it as your assets to your assets and then calculate 2.5% of that.
All right, JazakAllah for the clarification. Mr. The next question is, Salams, I want to know that zakat is not compulsory upon me, but I want to give some money for zakat.
When zakat is not compulsory upon you, then instead of making niyat of zakat, make intention of lillah, and inshallah Allah will reward you tremendously. Take the lillah money, and there are enough projects in our country where they are building masajids, where they are building darulums, where they are building makatibs, and where they are digging wells, etc. So you can take your money and give it for those causes. Allah will reward tremendously.
All right. We're running out of time. The final question for tonight's program is from a brother. It says, Salams, in the third rakat of Isha Witr, do I lower my hands to my sides then raise to my ears before reading Dua Ikhunut, or raise my hands up without lowering them?
It is better to lower them and then raise it for Witr Salah.
Right. Mr. Jazakumullah for your time, and inshallah Al-Aziz, it was a very, very informative program. We learned a great deal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice, and may your health be a means of thawab jariyah inshallah, and a means of yours and your family's najat inshallah Al-Aziz in the akhirah. Mr. Jazakumullah, and to the listeners of Radio Islam and Satellite, join us this coming Sunday between 1:30 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and Mujisa will deal with questions pertaining to zakat, i'tikaf, and also miscellaneous masail. Mujisa, Jazakumullah, and remember us in your humble du'as.
You too, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our efforts in Ramadan.
Ameen. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.